Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. Now your hosts, Kush.
Hello.
And me, Henderson Man. Well, I really brought the hammer down on that one, didn't I?
Yeah. You were so chipper before, just a few minutes ago.
It's been one of those weeks, people. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me, but, you know, things happen, life goes on, and we're going to do a show.
And we have an email that can maybe cheer you up. It's got the perfect kind of title that'll cheer you up. Dick.
Is it Pixelated Motherfuckers?
No, it's Dick.
That Dickness never cheered me up.
But it's from someone who's practically in Canada. Good old Minnesota. This is a Lunchbox 700.
Ah.
So after playing the Battlefield 3 beta this week, is there really anything left that can be done for the next generation of systems? What's left when it comes to innovation? Plus, can there really be a big enough jump in graphics? The only thing new, it seems, is indie games, which don't need next-gen. Case in point, Henderson Man wet himself over Xenoblade. P.S. Dick. I don't know if he's saying P.S. Dick as in he's calling us dicks or if he wants dick. I don't know.
Wow, I don't know.
I have his address. I can give it out to all the listeners if they want.
I don't even really understand the question. I don't understand what Battlefield 3 has to do with anything because I wasn't that impressed with the graphics on the beta. Of course, it's a beta.
It's nothing special. But who knows? Maybe he's been playing it on PC and maybe it looks really nice on there. I don't know.
But then, I don't know. PCs are always expanding, so I don't know if I really understand the question. But
he's from fucking Minnesota. He doesn't know how to talk. He's like, am I American or Canadian? I can't tell the difference.
I think the next generation we're going to see some graphic, a little bit of a graphic boost, but I think it's going to be focused more on the stuff running in the background, physics-based.
Processing,
AI, stuff like that. I think that's where we're going to see more of a focus.
It's where they should be focusing, whether or not that actually happens. Who knows?
Because I do agree that I can't really see the graphics getting much better. Yeah, they can improve, but I really do think they need to... I think the next generation would... I just wonder when it's coming. I just don't feel like this generation's even close to being over with yet.
I don't know. All I know is I don't want it going into some stupid download only crap. I'm not. Mm-hmm. If that does happen, I've said it before and I keep saying it. I will definitely stop playing as much as I am.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about the download only future. There are too many bandwidth caps out there, and I was upset this week because I've had unlimited access internet access forever now, and I just found out, like, I don't know if it was this week or last week, that our local internet company Insight got bought by Comcast, and they're one of the worst when it comes not Comcast. I'm sorry, Time Warner Cable. And they're one of the worst about bandwidth caps. So suddenly
I'm on AT&T, so they recently changed, and now I have a cap of 150 gigabytes.
Yeah, but see, at Time Warner Cable, they have, like, different packages. 10 gigabytes a month, 20 gigabytes a month, 30 gigabytes a month. You know, they've got several different caps, and I don't know the price difference. And that just kind of really, that's silly shit, you know?
That doesn't make sense. That's, like, nothing if it's that low, though.
Right, and that bothers me because, you know, yesterday I tried to download the Uncharted 3 Subway beta thing, so that's almost a 4 gigabyte download. And I downloaded it, tried to install it, well, my data was corrupted, so I had to do it again. That's 8 gigabytes that went to something in a day that I wasn't planning on that, but as many games as I download, new arcade games every week and stuff like that.
Watching Netflix?
Yeah, watching Netflix, playing online, doing the show. You know, I live online, and it's just, I hate these strict policies on these download caps. It's ridiculous. And until we can figure out somebody or that, there is no downloadable future. People can't afford that.
I just don't want it. I don't care if there's ever that kind of system, because I just do not trust this cloud shit and everything. I want a physical copy.
Right.
The only reason that I've been like, I'm not even going to be concerned with like Xbox Live Arcade or anything, but the only reason that like something like Steam has hooked me, has been able to get me to do it, is because they have sales every day and all this kind of stuff and these crazy prices. I've never paid full price for a game on Steam, ever.
Right. And, I mean, the only place I really don't mind downloadable games is, like, Portal System. But, I don't know, I really don't want this whole downloadable future thing. I want to be able to touch something. I like to go to the store and pick things up or have it mailed to me and stuff. It just doesn't, I don't know.
I just don't trust it. That's my problem. It doesn't have anything to do with, for me at least, it doesn't have anything to do with having the physical item in this case so that I can look at it and I can smell it and all this crazy stuff.
Oh, I love smelling the inside of boxes.
I just don't trust it.
All right, so I guess we'll get into what we've been playing.
Yes. Speaking of Battlefield 3.
Ooh, nice segue.
It's not a segue when you talk about it.
I know, but it was a nice segue. Just saying.
It might be so nice that we could convince Steve Jobs to invest in it.
Oh, too soon?
No, he's not dead yet.
Oh.
We can say whatever we want.
It'd be sad if tomorrow Steve Jobs died.
I wouldn't care. That would just date the show. I'd be like, what? He's already dead.
So, since we're talking about Battlefield 3, Legend of Zelda 4... Oh, no. Battlefield 3 beta. So, I'm not sure what to think about that yet.
I don't know, whatever. I got bored of it. It's just one map, so I kind of got sick of it. And sniping seemed way too overpowered, which is what I was doing.
I was having the same issue I've had with every Battlefield game that's come out online. I walk 2 feet, get shot, and die, and had to respawn.
Probably by me. It's so easy to freaking snipe in that game. Because the weapon you start off with is freaking overpowered. It basically takes 2 shots to kill someone, and it's rapid fire. You just hit it twice, boom, they're dead.
Yeah, I think I only played one game because I had to fight to get into a game to begin with. But I don't know. I'm sure there aren't a lot of bugs. I did see the message last night that they're updating the beta as it goes along, so we should be getting
this isn't a beta. I don't care what they say. It comes out in like 3 weeks or something.
It has to be a beta because it can't look. There's so many problems.
If this is a beta, there's no point in doing it because they have to be pressing disc relatively soon.
They have to. It's probably a stress test beta.
Guess what? There's plenty of shit wrong with it.
Yeah, this could be an old build too. I'm not gonna say the game is.
Then there's no point. Then it's not a beta. At the same time, it's not a beta. It's just like, here, we want you to get a little hyped for the game. This really means nothing. This is all stupid.
It's a hype. It's probably a hype thing, but it's also, I think it's the stress test doesn't have to have a great build. It's just stressing their networks and stuff like that. So that's what, you know, it's what it is. It is what it is.
It's a stress test to see how long you can keep playing it on the same stupid map. And just and convincing people, everyone to say, you know what, I think I'm just going to go with Modern Warfare.
Yeah. I wonder what the PS3 version of it looked like, because I heard that was supposed to be better, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care. Who plays games on the PS3 online? No one.
There are some people. I just played some Uncharted last night online.
I don't know.
But, so it is what it is. I hope that game's going to turn out well, but I wonder how many pre-orders got canceled because of that shitty beta. So, I don't know. I have a hard time with demos anymore, especially online demos. I hate playing the same map over and over again.
That's the biggest problem, I think, is why is it just this one map?
And it doesn't even feel like a Battlefield map, because, you know, they talk about jets and everything. Why not pick one of those maps?
There's not even a vehicle at all.
Yeah, why pick this one that's underground and, I don't know, there's nothing to it. I mean, it's a subway system. How many times have we fought at a subway system? Show us something new. Show us a reason why not to buy this over Call of Duty, although I'm buying it over Call of Duty.
I'm not buying either. Over either. Go me.
You win. You win the internets.
Yes, I know all the internets.
And then we also played The Legend of Zelda Four Swords Anniversary Edition on the eShop 3DS.
For free until February, whatever, 1st or something.
I didn't play about 5 minutes of this because I've never played it before and I just wanted to kind of check it out. It's definitely something I would love to play with a group of people.
It's a game that, you know, I remember playing it a long time ago, and it does work by yourself, and it's capable, but it's nowhere near as fun or enjoyable. It just kind of gets tiresome, because there's a competitive aspect, too. It's not just, like, pure co-op.
Right. This is a game I definitely would like to play with other people besides Kush, because if I was playing with Kush, I know what he'd be doing. He'd be picking me up and throwing me off ledges. And...
Well, we can't anyways, because there's no online play.
Yeah, but what do you expect for free? So
it's fine for free, and it's a long-ass time, so if you miss out on this, then you're an idiot, or you just don't have a 3DS, in which case you'll never have a reason to complain.
Exactly, but it's a nice little free game, and you know, it looks pretty good on the 3DS, you know, for its simple graphics and stuff, and it's fun. So, you know, I don't know if there's actually any dungeons in the game or anything like that.
I don't remember that much. It just seems like
the puzzly thing.
Yeah, it's just sort of on these little quick bites, nothing really too elaborate that I remember, at least.
Right. All right, that's pretty much what we've been playing together. Well, not that we've been playing it together, but I've been playing some stuff. Yep. Been playing a lot of stuff.
Yes, you have.
Gears of War 3 is on the top of the list here. Oh my god, this game is awesome. I did finish it this week. It was a pretty long campaign. The multiplayer, of course, we've probably all played the beta or played a little bit of the beta, so you know, there's nothing new there. It's there's only 10 maps, which is kind of annoying, but they're going to be bringing us plenty of DLC because you can buy the $30 DLC pack for... That's such a weird thing, pre-ordering DLC. But the game looks great. I mean, it looks way better than the previous Gears of War games. And there is a slight issue I'm having with the game, and it feels kind of weird because this one focuses on four-player co-op. So you've always got four people in your party. The problem with this is balancing. So I went through and played it on hardcore, which is the third highest difficulty. And because basically I heard normal was way too easy, and casual, of course, is way easy. So hardcore, I figured, would give me a little challenge. There are a few places that give me challenge in this game, and they really frustrated me. But for the most part, it wasn't that hard of a game. The last boss was kind of annoying, but they checkpointed it, so I didn't realize that. I had a rage moment because I felt like the boss was really cheap, and I thought I was going to have to do that whole 20-minute boss fight over again, and I was like, it fucking pissed me off. But, you know, I went through it again, and I found out it checkpointed it near the end of the fight, so I was good there. The biggest problem I feel like I had with Gears of War 3 was this, that they balanced it so much for four-player co-op that when you play it single-player and you've got three AI companions, the issues were that I got annoyed with this game like I got annoyed with Lost Planet back in the day. Because there's some enemies...
You mean Lost Planet 2?
No, Lost Planet.
Oh.
Okay, do you remember in Lost Planet how you would get knocked down by something, and then by the time you stood up again, you got hit by the same kind of enemy again, like a missile? It would knock you down, and by the time you did the animation of getting back up...
A little bit.
You get hit by the missile
again. That game's so old, I can barely remember it.
Right. Well, I kind of had the same issues with Gears of War 3, because you're in a four-player party. They wanted it to be harder, so a lot of times they've got one-hit downs, so you'll get shot with a rocket or something, and you'll get knocked to the ground, and you'll be like telling your... At least in this one, you don't immediately die when you get downed in this game. It seemed like in Gears of War 2 and stuff that when you were down, your AI companions could never get to you in time and you would die. This time they get to you all the time, but half the time they were so dumb they would either wait so long to pick you up, or they would run over to you, be standing right next to you, and be shooting enemies to kill those enemies instead of picking you up so you can get back in the fight. And then a lot of times once they picked you up, if you're fighting an enemy that was having the one-hit downs, by the time you got up, you got hit by the same damn thing again, and you'd be back down again. And this happened over and over again. There were times in the game that I didn't feel like I was being an adequate player. I just felt like the AI was doing all the work because I was getting knocked down, and they were coming over to pick me up. But that would take so long, and I felt like I was out of the experience. And, I mean, this happens quite a bit in the game. And, I mean, I guess, you know, some people... It made it an easier experience, but at the same time, I just felt like I was getting frustrated with that because I wanted to be the big hero on the team since I was the only main player, and I just felt like a lot of it was, oh, I'm down, save me, and they would run past me, and that was the most annoying thing is when you're almost near death and you see your AI companion run past you to go shoot somebody instead of picking you up, and this happened quite a bit. But, you know, if you... That aside, the game was amazing. The set pieces were amazing, and it looked so good. And the story was pretty good. Of course, I don't know how many people give a damn about the story. I did, because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to finish the fight, basically, to coin a term from Halo. But it's still an amazing game, and they added a bunch of modes and stuff, you know, to the campaign. Well, not a whole bunch of modes. You get stuff like, there's an arcade mode, which I'm kind of excited to go through and try, because I guess that scores points and stuff like that.
It doesn't like shooting things like pop confetti or something like that. And there's like an announcer or something.
I heard something about maybe a laugh track or something. I don't know. I haven't messed around with any of that. There's tons of stuff to unlock, you know. There's tons of stuff to unlock. If you beat the previous games, you know, there you unlock stuff when you just go into multiplayer. Horde mode this time around is definitely more fun, and I feel like before when I've tried Horde mode, I died way too easy, and I would always get frustrated with it. This time around, me and Steven and Christian got to like level... We got in the 20s, or maybe it was 19, 20, somewhere like that, which I've never been able to get very far past level 10 in Horde mode. Basically, now it's kind of a castle defense type setup. So, you know, you got your 50 waves or whatever, but in between waves, you get to set up barriers and like bases. So a if you set up a base of operations, you can start putting up wire and chicken wire and stuff so that the enemies have to fight through that before they can get to you. So if you set up your defense as well, then you can keep the enemies at bay for a while and kill them. And then as after the end of each wave, you can either add more stuff with the money you earn, or you can repair the stuff that you already have. So you can set up turrets, you can buy the mech robots and stuff so you can get in them. So Horde, you know, they've definitely really changed up Horde, and it's a lot of fun. And I would definitely love to go for a level 50 run, but hearing how hard that last wave is, I don't think I would be able to do it. I think I'd lose my fucking mind. But the real thing that they added to this game that's a lot of fun is Beast Mode. So it's basically Horde, but you're playing as the enemies. So you start out the game with a few different little creatures from the story. You got your little tickers, you can become them. And so basically you're running up trying to kill enemies, and you're earning money because you've got 1 minute to kill all the friendly or all the good guys in the base. So you're running up and trying to blow up the defenses and stuff so you can get into the enemies and you can shoot them and stuff. And as you go up in waves and earn money, you unlock better monsters to fight with. You unlock stuff like the corpsers and stuff like that. It's just the reavers, and it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. The only issue we had, though, is me and Big Steven beat it the first night the game came out. We beat Beast Mode by ourselves, and I think it was on casual or normal. It wasn't that hard. But the map we picked was really set up for the beast to win. Then we tried a couple days later on a different map, and it was damn near impossible because the map was so huge that when you've only got a minute to get from one side to the other to kill everybody, once they've built up their defenses, it takes so long to get across the map that you'd only get a few, like 30 seconds to start killing defenses, and if you blew up a defensive wall or something with a ticker, you would die and have to respawn all the way across the map. So there are some issues with that mode. I kind of wish they'd take the timer out. I mean, I don't know how they would do that, I guess. I don't know. I guess that would probably be hard to do, but it's fun, and you also have to fight heroes in that mode as well, like Marcus Fenix and stuff, and if you got a hero you got to kill, you can't just walk up to him and kill him. You have to actually execute him as well, but you get to play, like, from all the main little enemies from the game. It's a unique idea, and it works really well, and it's a lot of fun. And I would definitely like to try this again on some different maps to check it out, because the map, like I said, the first map we played on was excellent. It was built so it wasn't very far to move and stuff, and then the second map was like way, way out there. But Horde and Beast Mode are just still fun. You level up, you unlock all kinds of crap. The day one DLC was kind of annoying, though, because $45 they would let you buy all these skins for your weapon, which, you know, they're optional, but it just seemed like they were very expensive for what you're getting. Like, Steven bought a whole bunch of damn rainbow set of rainbow guns, so all of his guns had these pretty little rainbows on them. It was weird. So you still got any interest for Gears of War 3?
I'm interested. I'm just I don't have time for it, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
I've always been interested in it.
It's just one of those games that I think a lot of people just kind of were like, yeah, I'm getting it. And, you know, I feel like it doesn't get hyped up until it hits. And then you're like, oh, shit, this is good. And, of course, you expect it to be good. You already expected to get it. So I just kind of think it's one of those games, one of the devil you know type of games, right? You know, so.
Devil you know.
Yeah, you know, devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Because, you know, this game's
I've never heard that saying in my life.
Never heard that saying again?
No. It must be a southern thing.
Must be. And I also played a little bit of Ico and the Shadow of the Colossus collection. These games look really good. Ico is still fucking amazing. Ico kind of is the first game that really launched that Prince of Persia-esque type game on the PS2 era. That's what I feel about it anyway. It's a really, really fluid game, and it's a lot of fun. Graphics look really good, really crisp. I mean, you can see what's going on a lot better. Although that game looked good back in the day, too. But seeing it running 60 frames a second and all that, it's
and widescreen.
And widescreen. So Shadow of the Colossus, I still can't get into this game. I beat the first Colossus again, and I'm sure I'd probably get into it more once I get to play it more. It just seems like my focus is just scattered everywhere, so it's kind of hard to get into Shadow of the Colossus because I didn't care much for it to begin with. I mean, it looks really good. I can finally see a distance in the game. You know, there's not a frame rate of one digit, so, you know, it really works well. And I just think the controls are a little weak, so you're holding down too many damn buttons when you're trying to kill a Colossi. You know, it is what it is. I still think Ico is the better game. I've always enjoyed Ico.
I'm the reverse.
Yeah. So, but it looks really good, and I just heard that Best Buy's got it on sale for $25, which is amazing, because I just paid $40 for it a week ago. Well,
which is why I would never buy anything the first week.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff you shouldn't buy the first week, I picked up X-Men Destiny. So this game, I really wish somebody besides Activision would have came up with this idea for the game, because I think if they put a little polish on this game, it would be amazing. But as it stands, this is not a $60 game. This isn't even really a $30 game, which I buy games for you guys so you don't have to buy them. So that's how I look at it. Basically, you're set up in a story that seems like it's after the death of Charles Xavier.
I will say one thing about this game. I never understood why everyone complained about the fact that you're not playing as X-Men. To me, that was what was the most interesting part about it. I don't want to play as X-Men. I want to be my own character. But from what I've heard, being your own character, you don't really have that many options.
Well,
but that whole system is what always interests me. I don't want to play as X-Men. I don't care.
Yeah, how many games have we got to play as the X-Men? It doesn't matter. I do like the idea. I want, you know, even if I can't choose my own type of hero, you know, you get the choice between three different characters. And then once you pick them, there's three different powers. So I picked the Shadow, I think it was called Shadow Walker. I don't know. Basically, it's you're shooting all these shadow blades and everything. But what really makes this game unique is that you pick up powers along the way. You pick up these things called X genes. So basically, you can have each X genes can be fit into a defensive and offensive and a special or something like that. So like if you pick up Avalanche's special, you can hold down the R trigger, the A button, and you shoot the ground almost kind of like X-Men or like Iceman, where he'd fly around with his ice stuff in the air and everything. This is kind of the same thing on the ground because you're just pushing up dirt, and so you can move faster because you're actually frictionless or something. But you get to switch out these X genes, which is a good concept. In practice, it's a little weird because it doesn't make sense as to why you, as a mutant, you would have all these powers and be able to switch them out at will. I guess maybe you're all rogue. I don't know. But the story revolves around which is supposed to be, oh, you can either play bad or good. But what it really boils down to is you go into an area, you see the good guy, the X-Man, and then you see the Brotherhood of the Mutants person, and you talk to him, and then you decide if you're going to help or which one you're going to help. And they each have factions. It's just in concept, it's a good idea. In practice, it doesn't really work that well. The combat is kind of just your average, I'm beating things up over and over again. You walk into an area and it's like, kill 20 enemies! And you may have the help of a certain X-Men or a couple of X-Men. It really is a good idea, but it's just, the game is just very, very, you can feel it's not polished and it was just rushed out though. Which, people were complaining on the internet, they're like, I can't wait for Dennis Dyack to come out and make comments about how the reviewers are wrong about this game because Silicon Knights is behind it. Did I say Silicon? Silicon Knights is behind it.
I wouldn't be against the Silicon Knight.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not that big a fan of Silicon.
Yeah, but he ain't gonna come out and say anything because this is basically what everybody's saying. It's a cash grab, so it's okay.
It's a very weird cash grab when there's like no marketing for it at all.
Well, that's kind of an Activision thing too. I don't know. It seems like this just really rushed out the door. It could have been a cool idea, a cool concept. Cyclops, which is my favorite X-Man, he looks really fucking weird in this game. Which that's what even Wombat said. I can't put my finger on what the suit just looks weird, and his face looks weird. He looks almost like he got a horse face. I don't know. It's just odd. It's an odd game. It should have been good, but then again, you never expected it to be good. I never really expected it to be great. I kind of wondered if maybe I should have waited and picked up the new Spider-Man game instead, but I've already played the Spider-Man games, and I wanted to try an X-Men game that was kind of had a little different focus, but I lost out on that deal. So I finally got a copy of The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which I'm only briefly going to talk about this because the game's old as shit. The one thing I wanted to bring up is, man, it's amazing how much things have changed since Xbox and PS3 and stuff like that, because when I started out the Wind Waker, I'm having a hard time getting into it because of one thing and one thing only, is that you can't invert your controls. So, like, I can't stand the camera in this game. It's backwards for the way I used to always play these games, and there's no way to change it. That just annoys me now because I can't play it. I'm so used to being able to hit the button right for the camera to turn right, and it just doesn't do that. I don't know why I can't enjoy stuff like that. Does that annoy you when you can't, if the camera's bad?
if it's not the way I usually do it and I can't change it, it annoys me. Though I'm pretty much, you know, the default way in which a lot of games do it. But I mean, there's like one example was Persona 4. Their default was the opposite way.
Uh-huh.
And that really bugged me. And it was a bit tricky, like trying to find, I don't know, their menus, I think, were kind of messy to deal with. But the option was in there, so it made it a lot better.
Right. So, I mean, that's just something simply that they've done in this generation is, hey, look, we can invert these controls. And I don't know, they always talk about if you're weird if you do this one inverted, and I don't know what the deal is. I don't know which is which. I just go with which one's ever comfortable for me, and Zelda, whatever one's comfortable for me, Zelda doesn't do that one. So it just feels odd.
Yeah, I don't exactly know which is which when it comes to, like, camera angles. Like, I know what inverted means when it's dealing with, you know, like, viewing through first person, whether, you know, pressing up makes you go up or down.
Right.
But when it comes to camera, it's like, I don't even know if it's reverse I like or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't even describe it to you right now. Exactly. All I know is it feels right.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's good because, and people are like, oh, if you look at it this way, the reason why you push down to go up is because you're moving the hit. No, it doesn't matter. You can tell me the way it works.
That works for airplanes. That's what it works for.
Yeah. But what is weird is that when Ico Shadow of the Colossus Collection, when I was playing Shadow of the Colossus, I had to adjust the camera to move left or right, or the horizontal camera, which that was great. But when I would go to aim, I would have to have it the opposite of what it was supposed to be because I don't know something about that reticule on the screen. Once I seen that, I was able to do it perfect. It was weird. I didn't understand it. I don't know why it was different because, you know, it has two different settings, the inverted and the... Or this has a weapon camera and then, like, regular camera. So it was, like, odd that I didn't have to change one because it was right when I was aiming a weapon. But when I was just moving my body and the camera around, it wasn't right. It was weird. So, yeah, that's what I think about camera systems. Now I kind of really wish they had done the Legend of Zelda, the Wind Waker for Wii. Like, there were talk of them doing. But that system, that didn't work because I'm sure they would have fixed stuff like that. But played some Burnout Crash. Did you try any of the demo of this?
No.
No? So basically it's the Crash mode from the Burnout games done in an overhead type of mode. I had a little fun with it. It's, you know, it's $10, so it's $10 and it was a good time. So basically you drive into a map and you try to wreck as many cars. There's three different modes. There's the road trip. There's... I can't remember what the other two is. One of them is you get 90 seconds to do as much damage as possible. So the road trip mode's a little weird because you drive into an area and you have to hit a car, and then once you explode, you've got to keep 5 cars from leaving the map, and you've got to make it for like 50 cars to come through, and you got to keep them all from escaping. If you have more than 5 escape, you have to redo the map, or that's your score and you're done. And it's that mode's not that fun, but the mode where you got like 90 seconds to do all kinds of carnage is really a lot of fucking fun. You earn stars just like in any Burnout game that unlock other vehicles. It's got the autolog mode from Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, I think it was, so you can challenge your friends and you can see their leaderboards, see how many points they did. I mean, it's a little arcade game, so it's fun. I liked it a lot. And then the last thing I want to talk about is Rochard on PSN. So this is a little
but
puzzle
you play. Are a fucking 360 fanboy.
I know. Isn't it odd? Rochard's awesome. So it's a game that kind of has the look of like a Shadow Complex, but it's a puzzle platformer, and you can't backtrack, so it's not like there's this huge Metroidvania type of map that you can run around. It's basically, you know, you got a level to go through, and you're trying to figure out block puzzles and stuff like that where there are these walls that only you can walk through, so you got to figure out how to get this box around this wall. It's just it's a lot of fun. It's a little frustrating at times because you can't really take too many hits, and there's a lot of areas that you'll walk into and there'll be two or three different types of enemies shooting at you, and if you don't have a box in front of you to block the shots or something, you can die really fast, and that gets annoying. The game kind of feels unbalanced in the combat area, but you're unlocking stuff as you go along. It's fun. Looks good. You know, it looks like Shadow Complex a little bit.
I've heard good things about it.
It is really
good. But I just
really
have not turned on my PS3 in, like, weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see that much of a reason. There hasn't been any exclusives that have really enticed me. I have no friends on there.
Right.
It's like freaking Dustin Decorator has been on, like, 6 months ago or something.
I've got all kinds of friends on my PS3.
I have like 11.
Well, most of mine are, like, local work people because it seems like where I work, everybody has a PS3 and no one has a 360, which is odd. But yeah, I definitely think you should pick up or check out Rochard, but I don't think there's a demo yet. I just heard so many podcasts talk about how great it is, and if you listen to other podcasts, you've heard it too.
Yeah, I wish that freaking Xbox 360 matched the Resident Evil 4 discount. I don't know if they had a discount for Veronica X 2, that half off PSN Plus.
No, they did not. Or they had. I did pick those up. I didn't. I've played Code Veronica does not. Oh, God, that game's awful. I wish I would have bought that one now. But I'd never finished it back in the day, and it's got the tank controls and stuff, so it's just really, I can't hardly play it. But Resident Evil 4, I played it for about 5 minutes. I just wanted to try it out. I've had so much other stuff to play, but that game looks really good. And I was a little weirded out by the controls, but then I heard that you can
actually... Yeah, there's actually a second option that makes it play like a current game, current-ish game.
So I'll definitely want to go back and check that out. But, you know, I've also been playing too much Xenoblade Chronicles that...
I may end up picking up Resident Evil 4 now because, as far as I know, there are only two international copies as of right now. One I know is not region-free, and then the other one, there's no whatever. It's like question marks.
Oh, you mean actually picking up the...
I always do that if I can get that. So one of the things I really have to get someday is the last guy, the physical copy. I love that game.
Rochard, definitely you might want to check that out when you can. But so what have you been playing, dude? You got a lot of stuff here. You've been playing...
Well, there are a lot of little games, and one of the games I barely played, but played the Gunstringer, and I really enjoyed it. No, I didn't buy it.
Did the Red Box have it?
No, I got a copy. It's a review copy.
Oh!
So, yeah. And you could say, oh, well, that means that's why you like it, because you got it for free. And actually, no, that would make me hate it more, because that means I have to play it to fucking review it. I'm like, I can't play anything else because I have to get this out. But I enjoyed it. It controls rather well for the most part. I think some of the complaints I've heard I agree with. Like, every time there's a moment when you use both hands to shoot, it feels kind of weird. And at times it sort of feels like the Kinect is confusing which hand is which, and the cursors are like, wait. That one's reversed. It's like they get cross-eyed or something.
Oh.
So it feels kind of weird at times. But it's not too bad, and I really didn't have that much of a problem with the platforming bits and the moving the character around, which I've heard from some people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that big of a problem. It can be a bit tricky when there's, like, these very strict paths you have to take, so you have to be very, very precise. But overall, it's not too bad, and it's pretty damn forgiving. Like, you can get hit quite a few times, and I never ended up having to restart a level. I never died completely, so it's not that bad. I don't know, it's got the humor I like and the charm that I like out of their games. And
is there any full motion video?
Well, yeah, there's plenty of that, and there's the whole Wavy Two Man Chronicles, or
which whatever. Was free.
That's amazing. Like, I can't imagine, you know, like the younger generation, like a, you know, 13-year-olds enjoying it at all, because they'd just be like, this is the worst playing game I have ever seen. This is the stupidest thing. These people all look ridiculous, but that's why it's so great. For anyone who's played those old games, like Mad Dog McCree and everything, you're just like, this is fantastic. You just want them to keep making this DLC. I will pay for them to just keep making DLC like that.
So wait, that's the full motion videos, it's like Mad Dog McCree and stuff?
Well, yeah. You've never seen any of the videos of it?
No.
Well, you should probably check out the videos, because I know you don't want to play the game. You can watch like half of the entire DLC pack on Giant Bomb. They did a quick look. But it's just fantastic. And it gets so crazy. It's, you know, I don't want to talk about it, because it's just best to experience it if you haven't seen it and you want to play the game. Yeah, because it is free. And it's a big download. That's like 10% or more of your freaking bandwidth cap now. But yeah, it's I really enjoy the game.
I mean, I'll probably pick this game up for when it's, like, really cheap.
And it's really a good deal for those. Like, if you didn't pick up Fruit Ninja Connect, it's $40, and you get a code for that. So it makes the game $30. And there was a sale the week after it came out at Toys R Us where you could get a $15 gift card if you bought it, mm-hmm. which just is, like, that's a ridiculous deal. Because then if you take away that price, that makes it $25 for the game. Take away the freaking $10 code for Fruit Ninja, it's a $15 game. And it's a good one. It's one of those few games that you look at the Connect and you say, yes, this is fun. I enjoy playing this, and it's a game that really, it actually does work better with Kinect. I couldn't imagine playing it with a light gun or a controller or anything like that. So,
Well, if it drops down to $20, I may pick it up.
I definitely recommend it.
I'm sure it'll drop down to $20 at some point before Christmas.
It might drop down around Black Friday.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Kinect, I also played Sesame Street: Once Upon a Monster.
Yeah, I seen the demo for that was up.
Yeah, it's... you know, it's definitely a kid and family-oriented title.
Somebody was saying the demo was kind of like an exercise game almost.
Well, it's this, like, you're going to look like an idiot. I don't know if the entire game's like it, but I played through the entire demo, did everything in it. I looked like a complete moron, but there's nobody around to see me do it, so nobody can say I actually looked like one. It's like a tree falling in the woods and no one's there. But it's basically... you're like mimicking this monster, so you're doing all these. You're like getting that. You're doing tiptoeing. You're like tiptoeing in place, and you're freaking. At one point, he starts doing like the Thriller dance. It's kind of crazy, and it was kind of tiring. It was like the most exhausting thing I've done with the Kinect at this point. But I could see like you know parents and their kids just having a blast with it, and the production values really well. And it's just I don't know. If you have kids, I think it's probably the perfect game to get. It's just like it has like all the voice acting and. All that, it's just...
It just seems like such an odd game.
Well, it's going to be odd to you because you don't have any kids. You don't have... There's no real... It's not for you. So it's going to seem odd to you. Just like people who only play Call of Duty and hear you talk about Xenoblade, they're like, that sounds like such an odd game because it's not for them.
Hey, look, don't be insulting Xenoblade Chronicles.
I'm not insulting. I'm just saying it's not for everyone, just like this game isn't for everyone. It doesn't make it odd. It just makes it
and
not for you.
And plus, I think another thing is I hated Sesame Street as a kid. Could not stand it.
Well, it's not for you.
And that was even before Elmo came and ruined Sesame Street for everybody else.
But it's I don't know. I feel weird talking about it just because I don't have a kid or anything, so I don't really have that perspective to say, you know, like, I have a post going up that's going to go up before this gets posted.
Did your dad come and play it with you?
No. Oh. But I have a post that will be up later today, which is days ago when you hear this. But it's just basically saying, the first line is, you know, I don't have any experience with kids at all, but this is the perfect game for you to get kids, basically. And I'm like, I don't even have any reason to say that. I don't know any shit. This kids could hate this game, maybe. I don't know. It's all assumption. But I think it's definitely, you know, high polished. And it's got some little bits of humor that I think adults could find funny, too. But whatever. I mean, if you have a Kinect, you have kids, then get it.
All right.
I did play a little bit of Shadows of the Damned. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems all right. It definitely, you know, has that vibe of like, oh, this is from the guy who did Resident Evil. It's got that feeling to it and just the way right. It targets and all that stuff. And I always thought the game looked kind of ugly in screenshots, but I think it looks a lot better in motion.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the lighting and stuff when you see screenshots.
Yeah, there's like there's like a, I don't know if it's a weird little like sheen on it in motion or like this little like glow about it, but it looks pretty nice in motion. I was surprised. I actually liked it. And I love the music in it so far.
Oh, the music in that game is just amazing. There's some weird music in there.
That's
it just
great.
Feels odd.
I love it.
So how long do you think you played it?
I don't know. An hour, half hour.
So
I only
you got past the opening prologue.
I got past the opening prologue. I don't know how far exactly I've gone.
So what do you think about Johnson?
He's okay. Like I don't think I've experienced enough to really make an opinion. Like I think maybe one of the last things I did was see his girlfriend again when she like was in lingerie and he was like, I went shopping for lingerie with you. And then they said some fake name, Victoria McDonald's Secrets or something. I don't know. But that's as far as I got.
Yeah, it's a good little game. I think the game's really a blast. I'm so sad to see the game didn't sell worth shit.
Yeah.
Where did you pick it up at?
Kmart, $10.
Was it $10? Oh, man. That's such a good deal.
Well, yeah, I had a $20 coupon.
Oh,
that's
well,
why.
Still.
And I've been playing quite a bit of Might and Magic, Clash of Heroes.
Yeah, I've seen that's
Live
been your
Arcade.
Game of choice late.
Because it's something I could just freaking play half paying attention while doing work at the same time.
I love this game. What do you feel? You like
well,
it?
Well, I played it on the DS when it first came out.
Okay.
And then I didn't play it for long-ass time, so I was kind of coming back to it a little bit fresh because I didn't remember everything.
Right.
But... It's definitely fun. I love the mechanics and all that. I just, one of the things that kind of bugs me is I forgot about the way the campaign and everything was set up, and I hate the way it's set up and the fact that it's the level cap and all that stuff is so fucking low. It's so quick to, you know, reach
your
max.
Yeah,
because
I think level cap's like 10.
It's 10. Yeah. Which just drove me nuts because I completely forgot about that, and I freaking overpowered my character in the beginning. I'm like, I'm just going to freaking sit here and, you know, get my level higher for a bit, and then I'm like, it's already a cap. Okay. This sucks. Now I have to just go through this thing overpowered, and then I'll finish and go to a new character.
But sometimes the bosses can be really difficult.
Yeah, the boss, I only beat the first area, whatever, the elf woman.
Right.
And the boss there was freaking ridiculously easy. But the pre-boss was more difficult, because it was a stupid fire bitch.
Yeah, so I think the game's a lot of fun, and it's definitely something unique in the puzzle
game. I know there's multiplayer. Is it competitive?
Yeah.
Maybe we should try that sometime.
Maybe.
I've never played it in multiplayer. It'd be a good multiplayer game.
Yeah, I was really into the DS version, and then like after the DS version was out for like less than a month, I think they announced that the Xbox 360 version was coming, and I was kind of like, well, I'd rather play it on TV, I think.
It needs to be out for iPad.
Yeah,
it'd be
it
perfect
definitely
for
does.
That. Because it's perfect for that kind of controls, too. Because it's basically like just a horizontal Plants vs. Zombies in the way you'd control it.
Right.
But I also played some iPhone games. Flipship, which was, it's like, I said it's like Schizoid and Tilt-A-Live. And it's pretty fun. I enjoyed it, but it's not some game that I would really go back to that often just because I don't like tilting the device. I don't like that control scheme. Kind of, it just really bugs me, tilting anything. This just feels weird. The worst thing about tilting to me is, you know, always having to change your orientation. It's like, oh, you bend down or something, or you like, oh, I'm going to lay down. Oh, now I got to fix the orientation because it's all fucked up. But it's a pretty fun game. You basically just, you fly around this area, you avoid enemies of a different color, and then you attack enemies of the same color, and the enemies that are the same color, they can't hurt you. And you just change your color by tapping the screen. And that's all you do. And basically the way it makes it a bit more challenging is that your multiplayer resets every time you change your color. So you have that incentive, if you really want to go for a high score, to stay as one color for as long as possible.
So is it kind of like Ikaruga in that respect?
I compare it more to Schizoid. I mean, you could say Ikaruga because probably more people play that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I say Schizoid because in Schizoid, you basically changed your color and then you just like ran into enemies. You didn't shoot them or anything. Like this thing automatically shoots you when you're like a millimeter away, but you're essentially like running into the enemies.
Gotcha.
And they're never shooting at you. You just need to avoid them. They might shoot at you, but I don't remember them really shooting at you. They're just kind of avoiding them because they just keep multiplying on screen and filling up more. But I like it for a tilt game, which I'm inclined not to like. Then I also played Stardash, which is a platformer from the guys who did Meganoid. It's styled like as a Game Boy game with that graphical, black and white, but not, that whatever, that tint and all that old type of music and blah, blah, blah. It's okay. It just seems a little bit erratic and it seems pretty damn unforgiving. Which, it tends to be how a lot of platformers feel on the touchscreen. But, I mean, it's polished, and it's universal, so I like that. And it seems like a fun game, it's just, I don't know. I think I'm kind of getting sick of platformers on the iOS. And the last game I played was The Binding of Isaac. Have you heard about this game?
I've seen screenshots, and I know it's kind of like a looked kind of like a Zelda type game, but I have no clue what the game really is.
It's sort of like Zelda, just to me, in the way the dungeons are laid out, but it's, to me, it's much more of a roguelike, because there's no saving in the game or anything like that, and you just basically, you die and then you start from the beginning.
Yeah, it's like random dungeons or something to it.
Yeah, it's the random dungeons. The boss at the end of each dungeon is different. It's not always the same, and I think it's fun for people who would be into that, and I'm like that, but I think a lot of people, if they don't know what they're getting into, especially if they just think Zelda, because it's a pretty difficult game too, they might get
really
annoying.
Well, of course, it's made by the Meat Boy team, isn't it?
Yeah. So it could just be a bit annoying for some. I've read mixed reviews where it's like a lot of people love it, and then a lot of people are like, this is horrible. So, I don't think there's a demo, so you're kind of fucked there.
Yeah, but it's only $5. Yeah.
It's cheap, so I'd recommend it if you're slightly interested. And it's just kind of funny. I guess it's a take on the whole Abraham and
Isaac,
freaking, that story. It's like, oh, go kill him.
The religious story. Yeah.
Which is like, this is weird. But it's kind of funny in that respect. And you're basically, the weapon you have is, you shoot up, down, left, or right with the directional pad. You move with WASD. But you're WASD. Shooting... You're shooting.
Oh, that makes me not even want to play the game because I hate controlling any kind of game like that.
Yeah. It definitely feels like it's fit for like a 360 controller and dual sticks. And I know it doesn't really support it natively, but you can get it to work, I guess. But I haven't tried it because I don't have any controller that I can hook up to the PC. But you're shooting your tears. That's your weapon. So I don't. It's got that humor I liked out of Super Meat Boy and everything. And it's got the same kind of visuals. It's basically, the visuals are like the cutscenes you would see in Super Meat Boy, because it's, bigger.
Right.
I would love to see this on the 3DS eShop, but the way the subject matter and everything, I don't think it'll ever be there. But I think it may be coming on, like, consoles. I'm not exactly sure.
I doubt it's coming to Xbox 360, because I heard
the I know they hate them. But it could come to PSN. All I know is I remember, like, when they hated it, and then I got a press release from Zen Studios, where they're like, we love Microsoft. They've been great to us. So if you want to do an interview, you want to do this or that, we'll be glad to talk about how much we love them. We don't think they're that bad. So yeah, it's a fun little game. $5. It's not going to hurt you if you take that money and then maybe you don't exactly like it. But at least you're supporting something small and indie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really care much for that team.
I don't think you probably should get it because of your computer. Because even on my computer, like I can run all these big games, and then this one seems just like slow down at times. And I'm like, what the fuck? This game is not some visual powerhouse. I don't know if there's some, you know, maybe my driver is not compatible perfectly with it or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seems weird that this game has these issues where I can play like Crysis and.
Well, I've been tempted in December to buy me a graphics card for my computer because of the announced date of Star Wars, The Old Republic.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about maybe...
Yeah, I got an email from them that was like telling me like, oh, I can pre-order now or something. It made it sound like I was in the beta. So I don't know. I don't know if that's like something everyone got or if I was in the beta this whole time and I never knew it. So yeah, I'm fucked. They're like, the beta was over. That was a great beta. Thank you for participating in it. I'm like, what?
Is it really said that?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? I did not. If I was seriously in this beta and never knew about it, I'm gonna kill someone.
Wow, that is weird. I didn't get any email like that. Yeah, I've never signed up.
So whatever. On to movies and other shit.
Yeah, I watched Bridesmaids finally, which I thought that movie was really good. Although it's nowhere near as funny as The Hangover, the first Hangover movie, I think. But I think the cop, I think his name's Chris Dode from the IT crowd or the IT crowd. He really is the one that stole the show for me. I thought that it made the movie way better. Did you see this one, Kush?
No.
I can't remember
if you've seen
it.
I'm not going to see it because it didn't come to what is now Quixtar. Or Redbox for a month or whatever. It's one of those movies.
So it'll be a while for you to see that then, yeah. Huh?
I'm not in any rush. I didn't see it in the theater or any of that, so I'm obviously not in a rush.
I was thinking you've seen it in theaters, but I guess I was wrong.
No.
It's a funny little movie. I don't think it's as good as The Hangover was, but it's kind of a female version of The Hangover. Lots of funny jokes, kind of vulgar, you know. Kristen Wiig's amazing in it.
Kristen Wiig's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She's pretty funny.
But she bugs me. Because she's, I don't know, she's funny and attractive. That bugs me about her. Whatever.
She's attractive, but at the same time, she's got a weird look to her, too. She's got that skinny, I don't know, she's got a weird look to her. She is attractive, though. But, yeah, I definitely say you check this
for
movie out.
For you, skinny people are weird. It's a weird look, you skinny people. Look at those pants. They're so tiny. That's like my leg.
Look at that guy in the small shirt.
Yep.
Anyway, so what have you watched?
I checked out Moneyball. And I really liked it. I definitely don't think it's... I think it's a movie that you have to be a sports fan to enjoy. But I really enjoyed it.
Was you excited to see your friend, what's his name, from Activision in it?
I didn't care. I think he did fine in it. People made such a big deal about it. But whatever. I mean, he was fine in it. He played basically this kind of like, I don't know, emotionless bigwig. And he did it well because he was probably just playing himself.
He's probably really good at it, yeah.
So, but it was a really good movie. It was co-written by Aaron Sorkin. Whatever. I can't talk right now. But it was co-written by that dude and some other guy. And it didn't sound as much like him as other films. But definitely there was this point when Brad Pitt's character was talking to the owner, whatever, of the Boston Red Sox. And this one long little speech that the Boston Red Sox guy gave was just sort of this baseball equivalent of a political agenda sort of thing of just like his views. So that was like, oh, that's Aaron Sorkin. That's all him because he's very much a liberal man. But I liked it. And there was a trailer for a new movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt where he's like a bicycle delivery guy that looked kind of interesting, surprisingly interesting.
Okay.
Yep. I also just watched this morning Conan O'Brien Can't Stop.
I am not a Coco fan.
It was a weird movie because he seemed kind of dickish in a way. And I think Wombat was mentioning that.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about this.
It just seemed like he was it seems like he can never really be serious. And parts of the movie, I'm like, is this, are they joking for the camera? Or is this actually how they're feeling? Because there's a point where he's like having everyone talk through a banana. It's like, it's, you know, like in school where you have a talking stick or something.
Right.
And he has a banana. Put it up to your head and use like a telephone. And then this one who I think was his assistant was basically, I don't want to do this. This is very degrading. And he's like, I just did it 7 times. You can't do it once. He's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm watching. I'm trying to think, is this real? I don't even know if it's real or fake. Because some of the times it just seems like they're trying to play it off as it's being taken seriously when it's not. When they're just, you know, hamming it up for the camera. So I don't know.
I've never thought Conan O'Brien was funny. So I'm on Jay Leno's side, so whatever.
I like bits of him. I used to like Jay Leno until the whole shit he did. Because I think what he pulled was a big asshole move. That, you know, that's my opinion. I think he was just a giant asshole, so I don't give a shit about Leno anymore. Whiny little bitch. News. Oh, wait, there's television. Yeah. Castle. I don't know why I like the show. It's kind of stupid.
I can't believe the show's in its fourth season. I thought this thing got canceled. I think no. Every time you bring up Castle, I think the show got canceled in the first season.
No, I think it's popular. And it's also just like fourth season already, but I'm pretty sure it like started in 2009, like in the spring or something. So it's been chugging along. Like, there's some really ridiculous parts about it, and the second episode was, like, it had, like, this superhero guy, basically, who killed someone, cut him in half. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, this looks kind of ridiculous. Because it's basically, to me, the character looked very much like Deadpool almost all the way. But then he had to make this elaborate way in which it was, like, four different superheroes put into one. Basically, it's just like, hey, we're by the same company who has Marvel and all that stuff, so let's talk about all these Marvel characters. And it's like he said, oh, it's got the color scheme of Spider-Man. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was red and black. I don't remember it being red and blue. Whatever. I don't know why I like the show.
Now, this is the Nathan Fillion show, right?
Yeah. I'm not even that big of a fan of his, but I can't stop watching the show. It's like one of the only shows I'm watching.
I'm sure the next show you're going to talk about is the highlight of television.
Two Broke Girls. There's been like some mixed reaction about it. I didn't think it was that bad. I think New Girl's much worse. But whatever. It's an okay show. It's got that Kat Dennings or whatever from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist and other stuff. I didn't think it was as bad as some. I think hipsters seem to hate it. From what I could tell from listening to other hipsters.
Why don't you hate it? You're a hipster, obviously.
I'm not a hipster. But no, it's okay. I kind of like the fact that it's a bit adult-ish humor. I don't know. Just the fact that I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's okay. It's nothing great. I think this season of new shows is pretty much crap so far from what I've seen. There's really nothing special that's come out. I'm thinking about maybe checking out Terra Nova since there's like an extended version on iTunes, so I don't have to watch commercials or anything. Supernatural season 6.
Yeah, I picked up the Blu-ray. I missed all of last season's episodes, and so I picked up the Blu-ray, and me and Mom watched about 3 episodes of the season. The season's kind of weird.
I can't believe that show is still on.
Dude, I don't understand. I mean, it's a good show. I'm glad it's still on, but man, it seems amazing that it's in its 7th season now.
Yeah, and I thought they were like the freaking original 2 cast members were supposed to leave like in season 4, and they just kept staying around.
Yeah, I heard like season 5 was like, they fought Satan in season 5. I mean, where can you go from there? And it's like, they keep finding stuff to do. This season, or season 6, is all about trying to save Sam's soul, I guess. So, like I said, I haven't watched that much of it yet. I definitely want to. And then I know Chuck comes back in October, which I've got to buy the DVD set for that when it comes out too, because I missed a big chunk of that show this past season. And DVR is the greatest thing I've ever got, because now I won't miss any of the new shows. But last season I just seemed like, because I was working full-time second shift, that I was missing everything. So yeah, I can't wait to finish watching this season. I can wait, because obviously I haven't watched very much of it yet, but just so many damn games to play, it's so hard to get into television. But I will. There'll be that time when there's nothing coming out. So news. Netflix, Quickster, they ripped themselves apart from each other, kind of.
Not the Quickster. It's all old news by now.
Yeah, but the funniest thing, though, was the Quickster Twitter account, because that was, like, funny for a day. So this douchebag teenager pothead had this name of Quickster, and which you spelled Quickster wrong in the news story. That's funny.
Whatever. Who gives a shit? It's a stupid fucking name.
But basically, he was trying to negotiate with Quickster or Netflix to sell off his Twitter account. And basically, Quickster's like, we already got a Quickster account. Sorry, dude. So he thought he was going to get thousands of dollars out of this. So it was
was like saying 6 figures or don't talk to me. He maybe could have got a few thousand or something. But, oh, yeah, give me 100 grand. Yeah, I don't think so. They changed the name because they don't give a shit about that site. So you think they're going to pay that much money for a fucking Twitter handle?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Freaking say, oh, new DVD out this week. There's no point in a Twitter handle for that kind of service anyway. The Netflix freaking account annoys the shit out of me. I used to follow it a long time ago and it just annoyed the hell out of me. It would be like, blah, 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 blank, insert film here, question mark.
Are you excited about them serving up games, though, on Netflix? Or
it could be interesting. There's no, they haven't mentioned how much it's going to cost or anything. I mean, I am a Quickster member. When it changes officially, that's what I am. I'm not part of the streaming. I stopped when it changed prices. So I'm keeping the DVD package. I don't have any interest in the streaming package. So whatever. All right.
New Mortal Kombat movie from the MK Legacy director.
Yep. It could be good. I like the Legacy bits. I saw them all and they were pretty good.
I never did watch anything but the first one.
I really like the Johnny Cage one probably the most out of all of them. I always like seeing Sub-Zero and Scorpion, but I hate the fact that a freaking like Scorpion always comes back to kill Sub-Zero. I'm a Sub-Zero fan. Fuck Scorpion. It always ends up where there's like freaking someone is, you know, tricking Scorpion and it's like, oh, he's either, you know, morphed into Sub-Zero or it's Sub-Zero's evil brother or this or that. And then Scorpion comes back from the dead. He's all angry and he fucking ends up killing the good Sub-Zero because it's bullshit. Fucking nonsense. Sub-Zero's better. Beyond Good and Evil 2. It's just, there's too much of it. It can't be made on current consoles.
Yeah, I hate when I hear stuff like that. That's just annoying. Of course it could be made on current consoles.
But it won't be good. It won't be the real thing. That wasn't a cutscene. Those were in-game graphics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why they can't make it, because that entire video was the size of one DVD. They need something that has a freaking... They need something that's a terabyte on a disc.
What they said?
No.
Oh, I was like...
That would be ridiculous.
I'm like... Well, they might as well make a 4-disc Blu-ray set.
That would be like fucking 20 Blu-rays.
A terabyte?
Yeah.
Blu-ray can get 25 gigs. Oh, it's 1,000 gigs, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt of a dual-layer Blu-ray that's 50 gigs.
Yeah, whatever. I want to play that game, but something tells me it's just vaporware to begin with.
I've never played the first one, so I have no opinion.
All right, so exciting news drop about the new Kindles. You can get a Kindle for what, like $90 now?
There's the one, new standard one that's $80. Then there's the Kindle Touch for $100. Kindle Touch 3G, $150, and then the Kindle Fire, which is their tablet, which is $200. I pre-ordered a Kindle Touch, and I might cancel it if I hear some hands-on later that say it's not that great. But the whole touch interface sounds pretty damn good to me. That's what I'd like out of one.
Well, what's the Kindle? What's Kindle Touch and what's the Kindle Fire?
Kindle Fire is the color tablet and everything. Kindle Touch is just a Kindle. I don't need another tablet. I just want something that's. I was thinking, you know, I'm gonna get this and then I'll give my current Kindle to, you know, my father or something.
Oh, I guess when I read that, I was thinking you're gonna I thought you said something about getting a Kindle Fire for your dad. I don't know.
No.
I thought that's what you had said.
I like the idea of the Kindle Touch because I don't like this stupid keyboard and everything.
When the Kindle hits about $50 for the non-ad supported one, I might pick one up.
There's no reason to be annoyed by ads. It's not like a big deal on the Kindle.
Yeah, I know, but I still like paper books. I like the touch and feel of books. I like to smell books.
We don't need to get into this argument where nobody understands what I'm complaining about.
And the last news story we have is Jonathan blows at it again, talking about how consoles are too old to do his new game.
It doesn't make any sense. What he's saying, because he's saying like, oh, they're too old and they're not powerful enough, so I'm going to put it on an iPad because that's the most powerful machine in the world. No, it's not. If he's going to put it on an iPad, then you might as well put it on consoles. There's no, I don't understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, I was looking at that story. I'm like, it just doesn't, the kind of tricks we had to perform to get the game working on these platforms is such a lot of work to the port at over at this point is not worth it for us.
All he's saying is I don't want to deal with Sony and Microsoft.
Well, apparently, you know, when he announced this game, he said it's coming to PCs, iOS, and one and a console that's to be determined. So it's almost like he wanted them to fight over who was getting the game. But then again, if you're Microsoft, why fight to bring a Jonathan Blow game over when all he did was bitch and complain about how Braid was treated on the Xbox, which, by the way, sold him a lot of fucking copies.
Yeah, whatever.
So I don't know. He's just one of those hipster douchebags.
There's something off about him. The show is so lacking of energy.
I slept last night. That's what I'm just. Guys, I'm sorry for the quality of the show. It's been a bad week.
I've been too much working.
What? Kush has been busy. I don't know. It's been low energy. So much stuff's going on. life sucks in general. So, you know.
I'm just going to turn freaking Pixelated Sausage into a site that tells you, hey, these games are on sale because that's what people want. I got that day, I got like over 3,500 people fucking to the site. Nobody commented because nobody comments on the internet.
What was the sale?
That one day sale with Torchlight and everything.
For $5. That was such a fucking excellent deal.
And then there are people on Twitter like, oh, sale's not on anymore. I'm like, I alluded to the fact that this is probably a one-day sale. I wasn't sure because there's no confirmation. I had the sale like up, you know, right away when it first changed. Because there's like that whole extreme shopping deal, whatever that's going on. I've never seen that promotion on my dashboard or anything.
Yeah.
But there's video that it's there, so I don't know, you know, I don't know if you have it or other people have it, but it doesn't show up for me. So I can't tell if this was a one day sale or not because there was no information on that when I first posted it. But I said it was very likely because there was reports that there's going to be a one day sale and all these things changed on that day. But yeah, whatever. It like doubled my Reddit posting score too, so that was nice.
I want to say happy birthday to my mom, even though she doesn't listen. Happy birthday, mom.
Happy birthday, mama.
So yeah, I think it's about time we end this low energy, low sodium,
high
calorie.
Get back to work. I'm gonna be writing so much more than I thought, and I'm apparently the only person who's like on track who does every work so far. The freaking teacher pulled out like two of us and said, well, these speeches we're having down the line, I was wondering if you two would volunteer to go on the first day because you two you've shown really good character or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck?
Excellent.
See? Nobody gives a shit. Let's get out of here. Goodbye.
All right. Well, let's get the plugs in first.
Oh, yeah. Fucking plugs. Well, there's pixelatedsausage.com and pixelatedradio.com. If you have questions, comments, you can email us at radio@pixelatedsausage.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 312-772-5874. On Twitter, you know, automated accounts for both the site, @PSausage and @PixelatedRadio. And then you should also check out Sign In Podcast and the Pull List Podcast. You can find both of them at pseudoradio.blogspot.com. I'm pretty sure that's their site. And you can also check out the Two-Headed Nerdcast, which is at twoheadednerd.com, maybe. Or Two-Headed Nerdcast. I don't know that. I don't know. There's just links on the fucking site. You just go and you look on the left side and you go to the bottom and you click.
Those guys seem like cool dudes.
Which ones?
Two-Headed
Nerd. Oh, they are cool dudes. So are the Signed In and the Pull List guys.
Oh, yeah. Of course they're cool dudes. I already knew that.
Yeah.
Because one of them has a pug. I'm just saying.
The only thing they have against their cool factor is that they live in Iowa.
Iowanians are cool.
I've been to Iowa plenty of times. Freaking Dubuque sucks.
That's where they make the potatoes, right?
I don't know. That's
oh, wait, that's
they,
Idaho.
That's where they
fuck
make crap.
Fuck Iowa. Iowa sucks balls. Just kidding. We live in Iowa. I love you.
I don't.
Anyway.
If you live in Duke, you can die. No, not
Henderson
really.
Man at Twitter and PSN and Xbox 360 and all them places. That's where you can find me.
I'm Kush3 on Twitter. I was mentioned on the fucking Double Fine Action Cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he had questions. And I was like, oh, we're going to have to wait another 6 months for the next show. And then they went on a tirade about it. It's like, oh, it's like you're calling your mother. And she's like, why don't you ever call me? And it's like, you should be enjoying the call right now. That's basically what they said. But he conveniently did not mention my question about, did you eat my cookies? He left that out, which is only a sign of guilt.
Did you send him cookies?
He ate my cookies. It was a cookie monster. Someone ate it.
Oh, okay. I have no clue what's going on. Check out the OND podcast whenever they put up a new show with Big Steven and Christian. And
Undercover Unitards. Go check that show out, because I never have, so somebody should.
I've checked it out.
I always forget to check it out at least once. I don't know. I don't know why.
And I know we tried to get people to nominate us for the podcast awards, so I look forward to seeing us on that list.
We could, because nobody fucking nominates anyone, because nobody talks about the thing, because nobody cares about that. It doesn't matter. It's always a four-player podcast that wins, because they whore the shit out of it. I don't like those guys. I don't like that show.
Their show is terrible.
I hate their show, because all I ever hear, like, every time I've ever listened to it, dude, like when I come back and like, maybe it's gotten better. It's always an episode where they're like at a restaurant and they're all eating and stuffing their face while they're talking.
Those
like,
are my least favorite type of podcast.
I'm like, this is disgusting. Why are you doing this? And then I just say, no, maybe I'll check you again in 6 months.
Yeah, every time I've listened to the show, it sounds like crap. Not that we sound like amazing or anything, but we do compared to that. But they do a lot of stuff for charity, so I don't want to hate on them too much, but still.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it, dude.
Yep. That's it. I'm done.
All right. Goodbye, well, everybody, everyone. Have a good day. Enjoy your weekend or your Mondays.
Enjoy your middle of the week when this will probably go up.
Later.